Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Well, I hope you get time to really sit back and listen to this program, because this is a really interesting fellow. His name is Clint Boyd. He operates and owns and developed and started a business called Saltwater Seafood. I'm still trying to get him to open up down here in Rock Hill, but it's coming. Yep. It's coming in time. You just got to let it, boil a little while or whatever. So, Clint, before we get into talking about who knows what, tell us a little bit about your very interesting background.
Yeah, so saltwater markets for us is what we would do if we could retire. I only get half credit. Elizabeth, my bride, is definitely half of this, and she's probably the genesis for the whole dream. We were in wholesale. We connected fishermen and farmers directly with chefs all over the U.S. and Caribbean, and we did that for, we call it our past life, so we did it for the better part of two decades. And if you've heard of or seen a celebrity chef like I dealt with them, and it was cool for sure, but we wanted to share great food with our hometown, and frankly, we wanted to tell all the secrets that they don't want you to know. What chefs do when they're slammed in the kitchen, they cut a lot of corners. You can do it too at home, and it can make cooking fun. So Elizabeth's the one that believed we could do it.
So you started Saltwater Seafood when?
It's Saltwater Markets.
Saltwater Markets.
You
pardon.
Guys have got a Saltwater Seafood here that does a different they do a lot of retail headfish, and I think they're a good brand for different uses as well. But Saltwater Markets is since 2015, and it was in September. So we usually have a fun, anniversary celebration every year in September, and it'll be 10 years ago.
So, 10 years ago. Well, good for
10
you.
10 years this September.
Good for you.
Yep.
So what is it that distinguishes Saltwater Markets seafood from whatever you'd find at Publix or Harris Teeter or whatever?
So that's a really great question. I often get asked, what can we do to revitalize the American fishing industry, or even specifically, what can we do for our state, for South Carolina or North Carolina fisheries? And long story short, there's momentum for the FDA to begin to require QR coding with point of origin for all U.S. seafood distributors, and that'll be a good thing. That should happen in the next year or so. But even when that happens, even if that means that the American public begins to request all American seafood in the big box stores, they're still going to get it 3 to 4 weeks old. It's going to get processed, frozen, usually thawed in chemicals like a tripolyphosphate blend, kind of brines it, makes it plump again, and then gassed, and CO gas, carbon monoxide, and it makes it red. Now, all of that, if you say that out loud, is like, it's off-putting. We don't want that. But it's what we see in the big box stores, and frankly, I don't really blame them. What they're doing is they're making a living. I get it. What I think would make a huge difference is when you shop with businesses like ours who are straight dock two-door, and where you can take that QR code and see that it's been 2 days since it was aboard the vessel, and we take you maybe on our Facebook marketing or some other way, and we show you the boat and introduce you to the captains, then you're actually getting your money to them, and you're getting to taste what they produced, and it hasn't been messed with, and they get paid for it. So in the case of the big box stores, it looks good to a fisherman on face value. They can sell 20 times the volume, but they're living on pennies instead of dollars.
Yeah.
So we were talking before the show, I really feel like we need to go back to the old days when it comes to fishmongers and butchers. You need to know your hometown butcher and fishmonger so you know where your food comes from.
So realistically and honestly, a serving of shrimp from seafood markets versus a serving of shrimp from Publix.
Sure.
You will notice the difference in terms of the taste, the quality, the size, what?
100%. So just food on your plate, if it's been soaked in chemicals, it's up to 50% water added. So if, Manning, you and I take home a pound of my shrimp and a pound of big box store processed shrimp, never mind the fact that the big box store is likely an Asian farmed product, never mind that. Let's just say they're equal. They both have a Carolina shrimp, one that's been messed with and one that hasn't been messed with. When we cook them, the pound of shrimp that we got from the big box store may weigh as little as a half a pound. And the pound of shrimp that we got from my store, you know, it'll lose a little water weight, but it's going to weigh, say, 7/8 of a pound. And you just plain get more food on your plate. So you have to ask yourself, if you pay half the price at the big box store, but you get half the food and it's got chemicals on it, which would you rather have?
Right. So it really is an educational process.
100%. Folks, if folks understood the choice they were making, it would not be a hard one.
And I would imagine people who are coming to your store for the very first time and you tell them this story, their eyes probably, what?
Yeah.
What? What are you talking about?
Absolutely. The second trip's the better one because now they've eaten it. And, you know, for me, I grew up here. So seafood to me, and it, not that it's a bad thing, but we grew up going to fish camps, right? So it's just fried fish. Maybe when I was a kid, I'm getting older now, maybe it was more local than it is now. But I didn't know anything good about seafood. I didn't have a great impression. It tasted like the hush puppies and the fries, right? And I think that that's probably most folks' impression. Or maybe they ventured out and gotten a big box store halib or something more unique, and it wasn't that great, and they think they're just not a good cook. And so on that second visit, when they've had the real thing and pulled it off, they're really fired up.
So when you talk about dock to store.
Sure.
You're doing it in 48 to 72 hours or something like that.
That's right.
Versus the big box boys that are taking weeks to do that.
That's right.
How are you doing this? Do you run trucks all the time up
and
back?
Yeah, it really is. It's a ton of hard work, but it's not complicated. I drive. We have a dedicated driver, and we trade off going down between 1 and 4 times a week to our Carolina coast, and that's to get oysters, shrimp, our dive fish. We have a great boat called the Selena Grace, whose captain is a great friend of mine, and they shoot fish for us. And we just drive down and unload the boat. We help them take it off of the boat, help them put it in the boxes, help them put it on our truck, and we're back in 4 hours. It's that simple. If it doesn't come from here, we ship it to Charlotte Douglas, so like Boston fish, let's say, or Alaskan fish, straight to Charlotte Douglas, and we pick it up. I mean, the hour it lands.
Isn't that something? So the shrimp, well, not the shrimp, the fish that you might be picking up at Charlotte Douglas,
right,
is stuff you can't get here on the Carolina coast?
That's right. So to that point, we have tons of resource here on the Carolina coast. There is no reason that we shouldn't be able to sell nothing but Carolina seafood. It just isn't reality in the regulatory environment we've been in for 20-plus years now. And basically, the southeastern corridor of seafood is the most highly sought after and highly regulated seafood on planet Earth. That'd be your grouper, your snapper, your shrimp, all of the oysters, flounder, everything we're all familiar with is just super highly regulated. And that's more simple than most folks think, too.
So when you say it's super regulated, meaning it's very difficult to harvest it and sell it?
So, you know, they open and close seasons pretty willy-nilly. A lot of the quotas are the best science money can buy. A lot of it is very heavily driven by lobbyists who are representatives of the big fleets that would produce a lot of this New England ground fish and a lot of the grouper and the snapper to go to huge buying contracts to be processed, kind of like the big box stores we talked about. And what they do is they wind up winning these fights on regulatory bodies where, for example, my dive boat last year, they could get 800-900 pounds. I think the quota was 900 pounds of grouper per trip. Now it's 300 pounds. There aren't fewer grouper in the ocean. They just lost that battle.
Whoa.
And so essentially, I mean, the fix is the American public gets what they ask for. if they will ask retailers specifics about the seafood they're purchasing and decrease the demand, there won't be the funding to cripple these regulatory agencies on behalf of our Carolina fishermen.
So when you go down, when your truck goes down, are you able to get the grouper?
Yeah, but 300 pounds a trip this time, so it's not much.
Not enough.
No.
And so you have to supplement.
100%.
So you got to bring it in from someplace else.
That's right. So we might have grouper for 2 days in season, and then we may offer you a great New England fish, and it'll be domestic. You know, right. We'll get you an equally beautiful product, but it's crying shame we can't get you more of what you want straight from Carolina.
So I'm sure that you've talked to people of influence on the legislature. Do you ask them about all this kind of stuff?
We do. Our fishermen, you know, they're small potatoes in the grand scheme of things as far as being able to represent themselves, but you wouldn't believe the amount of time they make to participate in the Seafood Council and try to bring forth awareness and changes in regulatory laws on this. I just don't ever see it moving really quickly enough unless the American public really ask for it. It's kind of like, you know, you've got all this in place. We kind of, all of us in the know about it, but still steady and consistent and inexpensive and readily available is the import. And in many cases, their tariffs are waived. You know, for example, I'm going to drive down and pay for my shrimp this week, and I'm going to pay the boats directly close to $7 a pound for shrimp. And it won't, you know, that'll be shell on. I can right now pick up the phone and pay $4.99 for completely cleaned, peeled, deveined Indonesian shrimp, and it'll be delivered to my front door without me moving a muscle tomorrow morning. And so you can kind of do whatever you want on sentiment, but until you change some of that and make it a little harder for them to bring that kind of product into the country, and Manning, if you think about it, I mean the statistics on this. Over 99% of the seafood in the United States is imported.
Really?
Yes.
Woo!
Less than 1% is inspected. All right, still with me?
Yeah.
Of the 1% that is inspected, less than half passes.
Wow.
So are we to suppose that over 50% of the seafood that's consumed in the United States, if inspected, would not pass?
Jeez.
I think so. I think that's math.
Golly day.
And we just live with it, right?
Woo.
And so I'm telling folks, you get what you ask for, so demand it.
Jeez, sweet. That's very interesting, that story. So back to seafood markets, saltwater markets. Your truck goes down there. You got a relationship with one or two of the boats down there.
100%.
They offload what you need, and that covers the majority of what you need for your stores.
So great question. With respect to shrimp, let's say.
Yeah.
We actually have a really great relationship with our shrimper. Craig Reeves is his name. He's a close friend. I really like a brother close friend. He and his family have three boats. One is a fresh day boat, the Gracie Bell. Another one is a Lydia Lee, which is a freezer boat. Great product, but they freeze the shrimp on the boat. And the third is the Pometta Pride. His brother runs that, Cameron. And these guys do a spectacular job, and I can support all of one of the boats catch. I could buy, say, all of the Gracie Bell if I wanted to, and we would go through that shrimp. They can sell the rest, and they kind of have two options for it. They can sell it to little mom and pops like me and you, and it can be eaten in small-town communities, or it can be put on what they call, quote, the truck, which is going to the breaders. This would be shrimp that's fairly indiscriminate on quality, and they pay you almost nothing for it.
Huh.
And that's what we're trying to eliminate through our markets. And with respect to that dock and those boats, we have made a tremendous impact on their earning capabilities and their infrastructure for the future.
Yeah, they prefer to sell it to you for $7 a pound
you?
Versus whatever.
Absolutely. Why wouldn't you?
So he would have, until he ran into Clint Boyd, he would have such a big catch that he couldn't find a market for it?
You got to put it on the truck. Some years are better than others, but a lot of these years, I remember my first time sitting on the docks down there. Elizabeth and I were there, and we met a great captain, Jeffrey, who's actually captaining the Lydia Lee right now. He's actually out fishing right now. I just got a message from him. But he was sitting on the docks, hardworking guy, our contemporary, about our age, and we asked him about his week. He had worked every day that week. Of course, they live on the boat, working.
Oh, yeah.
And sure. We said, what was your take? He's like, $200 before I buy groceries for the boat.
Oh, for God's sake.
So that's normal selling to, quote, the truck. And, of course, they're competing with the import market. Those breaders can buy the same shrimp imported from Indonesia. I just told you what it cost.
Yeah.
You got to beat that number.
So your take on the South Carolina fishing industry.
Right.
Last time you were on the program, it wasn't the brightest story.
Right.
It was declining.
Right.
Has that improved at all?
It has from a trajectory standpoint. So I don't think the finances have hit the guys yet. It's kind of two steps forward, three steps back. I know my grouper guys aren't tickled with these regulations for this season. They're going to have to figure out other ways. They're going to have to catch a lot of amberjack and a lot of other species. The shrimpers, especially my shrimpers, being part of the FDA regulations for traceability, they'll be very encouraged by that. That should drive a lot of business towards them. I still have the same conviction. This is already fixed if the American public would just choose to buy from reputable fishmongers and ask about what they're buying.
So when we talk about buying from fishmongers, you got to have a fishmonger to buy from, right?
You do. And that's tough in the South. I mean,
yeah.
I have one other guy I would recommend in a tri-state area. I get it. At least in this part of the state, you know, without going to the coast. So I get it. It's tricky. But at a minimum, I think if you put that kind of pressure even on the big box store, you will change what they purchase.
Yeah, they do listen.
Yeah,
they do
of course
listen.
They do.
There's no question
about
it.
You can't buy it if you can't sell it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. All right, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Clint, you remember what we do here? We do fresh subs and salads inside Substation 2. We do it 6 days a week from 10 o'clock in the morning until 9 o'clock at night. How we do it is in the white letters, which is why those people out there need to come in here. Because
yep.
You're like, the saltwater markets. We do it this way. At the count of three, we recite the white letters together. Are you ready? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice,
slice, slice.
Garden, garden, garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Hey, Alex, have you tried that new pastrami on rye at Substation 2?
You're darn right I have, and you should too. It's freshly sliced, lean, delicious, served hot, and piled high. And I understand you better hurry because it's a limited time offer.
Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
The Piedmont Medical Center Women's Tower at our Rock Hill campus boasts fully furnished labor and delivery rooms and family care suites. Our Level 3 NICU is equipped to provide advanced medical treatments for premature infants and infants who may have complications. Inside the Women's Tower, families begin bonding with their special deliveries in private family care suites, allowing mom and baby to relax with ease. Learn more at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
Have you been personally managing your investment account? Are you happy with your results? Maybe you should consider hiring a genuine money manager. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see how they can help you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or online at AndersonGriggs.com.
It's soup weather, and Substation 2 is ready. Nothing says fall like a cup of hot, delicious soup, and we serve a rotating selection of flavors. Just call to find out what's on the menu, because we never know what we're going to feel like making that day. Soup and sandwich, what a great combo. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Clint Boyd is with us today from Saltwater Markets. He operates markets now in Clover, Gastonia, and Fort Mill.
That's right.
Why don't we have one here in Rock Hill?
Well,
because I know you got a lot of customers from Rock Hill.
I do. You're answering it. The more we're invited, the more places we go. And Rock Hill has definitely been more popular in recent years as far as folks coming to our Fort Mill and Clover store and asking us to come here. So that's how you get us, for sure. We want to go where we're wanted.
So what do we have to do, sign a petition or something?
Hey, I love that idea. Yeah, nothing would make me happier. Bring me one. You in charge of it?
Yeah, I might be.
Just drop it off here to substation?
That's it.
Yeah.
We'll put it out there. So I notice you're sitting here, and you have some really interesting body art. You have a lobster on one hand, and you got a crayfish or a shrimp on the other.
That's shrimp, yep.
All right. Tell me the story behind those.
So when we I was in corporate America, well, sort of. I mean, we weren't a huge company, but I was brokering nationally to restaurants and resorts, and we were in Uptown Charlotte, and we were a national company, and I was in suits all the time and investor meetings and just a lot less casual than I am now. And when I left, I mean, I loved it, but when I left and we started this, we did not start this to be serious. We started this to make it fun for you, Manning, to cook in your kitchen with your bride, with your family. And so I got rid of everything I had that had a collar. All ties were given away or used for car cleaning. And I inked myself so they wouldn't take me back.
But this is only part of your business. You do online videos.
We do.
About cooking this and cooking that. Tell me about those.
So for us, that's part of the experience. Every morning on our Facebook page, you can just go to Saltwater Markets. It's one page for all three markets. And we do a live video between 8:30 and 9:30 each morning. Just frankly, whenever Elizabeth and I can pull it together each morning. And we just play. We don't plan anything. You'll see that I start unprepared, and we throw something great out of the case on the table in front of me, and we cook with it. And it is intended to help you understand that you can relax, and if you use the world's best groceries and have a few chef hacks that we can teach you, you can pull it off. And we make everything from really nice fine dining meals that we'll eat for breakfast to, you know, simple bar food, and it all turns out good, and it's always fun.
And you don't have to be a chef to be able to follow the instructions to do it.
Not at all. It's your home kitchen. I mean, you don't need it to be high and tight. Maybe on anniversary night you want those tips. We can help you, but you don't need that every day. I want you to relax.
The other thing that you do, which is really fascinating to watch, is you've got probably the biggest portable, mobile oyster cooking outfit I think I've ever seen in my life. What did you tell me, a million BTUs on that thing?
It is. It is a hillbilly creation. So that is a result of doing our first 400-person oyster roast with just turkey fryers. Woo. And we nearly died. That was our one-year anniversary, so 9 years ago. And the next morning I went to the drawing board, and we actually designed and maybe stupidly trademarked and patented the Salty Steamers, which is a production line of steamers that we began to have fabricated, and it's what we use. It is 1 million BTUs of heat and a whole lot of heavy stainless, and it's 12 minutes for 300 people.
Okay, so describe this rig, because I've seen it.
Yeah.
At one of your grand fairs, we're going to talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
I mean, how big is this thing?
So we make it a bunch of different sizes, but the ones you've seen have been 8 feet long. They'll hold 6 to 8 bushels of cluster oysters, you can do a lot of things in them. You can do crawfish or crabs or lobsters, but oysters is what we use them for most. And the inspiration for it is the fun part. I was reading a feed magazine. I don't even know where I got it. I'm not a farmer, but it had a feeding trough. And I looked at it, and I said, if a redneck set that on fire, I bet you could steam oysters in it. And so it looks reminiscent of that. It looks like an 8-foot cattle feed trough with a mating lid, and it's all propane-powered, and we steam them.
So you actually commercially sell these kinds of steamers?
We did until my lawyer got a good look at it.
Uh-oh.
So we actually, when we first patented it and began producing them, we took them down to SeaWee, Southeastern Wildlife Expo in Charleston. We did well with them. We sold a bunch of them, Manning, and drove them all over the Southeast delivering them. And then my lawyer walked past it one day and said, you cannot do that.
Why?
That is hot, sharp, heavy, and dangerous. And apparently, I didn't know, but you can't waive rights on a consumer product federally. So I was told. I guess that Weber gets away with it because they have in-house counsel, something. So we don't sell them anymore.
You would think that your customers would sign a disclaimer or something.
I tried. You can't. It's not on a consumer product, apparently.
No kidding.
You cannot do it.
All right. So you go out and you do events all the time. You just did one here last weekend.
Yeah.
At Windy Hill. How many bushels did you sell?
We did 60.
60?
So there's 66 pounds a bushel. So what is that, 3,700 pounds or something? It's a lot. 38.
So that's how you do it by weight.
Yeah, well, it's by bushel, but they should be between 60 and 65 pounds for a bushel. I think technical weight 66.
Golly day. Now, there's a difference for those who like oysters, and I love them.
Yeah.
Clusters versus singles. Explain that.
That's a great question. So, singles are clusters, okay? An oyster in the wild is gorgeous, and if you've never seen it, I know you have a place at Fripp, so you've seen it.
Yeah.
But if you see them in the wild, they look like bouquets of flowers growing out of the bays and estuaries. And so they stick together. It's how they survive, you know, in the turbulent water. And a single is just an oyster that's been shipped off of that bouquet. And so if you get a wild single, that's what they've done. They've taken a claw hammer and knocked it off the side of a cluster. The really nice, pretty, perfectly shaped singles that you see in markets like mine are farmed, and you know, a lot of farmed fish will get a negative connotation. With farm oysters, it's an upgrade. This is an oyster seed that's been put in a little cage, and in its natural environment. Of course, there's no feed for oysters, right? They just filter the water they're in. So you put them in a nice bay that's known to produce good oysters, and you bring them out once a week, and you pressure wash them, and keep them nice and beautifully cared for, and you keep them elevated off the seafloor so there's never any sand in them. And so anyway, a cluster oyster is like, that's me and you, down and dirty. It's like I would akin to eating chicken wings, where you got the adventure of going through the big ones, the small ones, and you get the natural flavor of, in my case, home, right? It feel like Buford, or for you, remind you of Fripp, that type vibe. So with the singles, I like it because you tell folks to take an adventure. Manning, if you go into our store and you get four different types of farm singles, you can get it from everywhere from Prince Edward Island, Canada, which you may have never been to the Outer Banks, to Southern Carolina coast, and it's like a wave smacked you in the face from each place. It's an adventure.
They're going to taste a lot different.
A lot different.
But people need to realize a single mm-hmm. is going to cost you a lot more than a cluster.
It is. I told you. You got to take them out and give them a bath once a week for 2 years until they're big enough.
So you go out and do this cooking.
Mm-hmm.
How many times a month? Or a
so not as much as we used to, but we are ramping that back up. So we probably do, in season, 2 to 5 oyster roast a month. Ooh. And so that'll go from October until March. Folks can go on our Facebook page now and see the remaining oyster roast. I think we have close to 5 or 6 left for the season. And or throw your own. Get a bushel of oysters. Get some singles. Do it in the backyard. We can coach you on that.
If you get 300 friends, just call Clint. He'll come. He'll
I can
come
do that too. No problem. Yeah.
So what's the next step in all this? Coming to Rock Hill?
Yeah, I would love to come to Rock Hill. I think this is a great town, great people here, and I appreciate all the support from the folks who make the drive. I think that's been some of the most humbling support we've gotten, is to see how far folks will drive to support great seafood and to have a little bit of fun with a family that cares.
Well, and to support local businesses. That's a key thing. Key thing.
You get to keep what you pay for.
There you go. And Clint Boyd, you are a remarkable guy. Glad to know you. Saltwater Markets is his place. Gastonia, Clover, Fort Mill.
Pleasure's all mine.
And if you're going to Fort Mill, just look for Fort Mill Ford. The QT is there, and behind it is a strip center, and you're going to find him over there in the corner. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors, online at AndersonGriggs.com. All right, Buster, wake up over there. Here we go. Fresh subs and salads 6 days a week. How do we do it? At the count of three, the white letters. Are we ready? 1, 2, 3. Slice,
garden.
Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.